Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
A group of children were sitting in front of drag queen Monica Moore when a group of men entered the room.
There was three at the time in ski masks, and they were stating things like, "We just want to hear the man in the dress has to say. We just want to hear the story from, you know, the man in the dress."
That's Amelia Horde. She and her children were at the Saturday morning Drag Queen Story Hour at the Taunton Public Library. She tells Rhode Island's WPRI station they were all having a good time until the masked men came into the reading room.
My children were shaking and crying, and they were terrified.
Even after the event was over, Horde said it had lasting effects.
My four-year-old, she's been having nightmares. She doesn't get it. She thinks these are bad guys, these are in masks. I was listening to a story that a princess was reading me, and then bad guys in masks came in.
All this sound is courtesy of WPRI and Providence, Rhode Island. Those protesters were part of a group called the Nationalist Social Club, also known as NSC 131. The Southern Poverty Law Center classifies them as neo-Nazis. It's the same group that disrupted two drag queen story hours in Boston's Seaport and JP neighborhoods last summer, and other story hours across the state. Back then, their protests were on the sidelines, but as seen in Taunton, they're getting more intense and disrupting events just feet away from performers and families. So with me now to talk more about how all of this is impacting their communities is Andrew Pollack, president of the South Coast LGBTQ Plus Network. Andy, welcome.
Good morning, Yasmin.
I also have on the line with me Hope Watt Bucci, president of the organization North Shore Pride. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much. Great to be on.
Great to have both of you. Let's start with Andy, because you were listening to that story just now from the parent. Your organization, the South Coast LGBTQ Plus Network, organized that story hour in Taunton. I am wondering what comes in mind for you when you hear a parent talk that way about that day?
Well, to finish the story, we provided due diligence. So we provided therapy for these families and children. So they're in counseling if they need to be, and we've keeping connection with the families so that they have some consistency and they have a support system to reach out to if they need it. What really was in my mind was how steady, composed, and well prepared our staff was, because they were in the room as well, and we are committed to peace and nonviolence, to de-escalation. But the women that were there were amazingly gifted at de-escalating, not engaging, and making sure that the children were safe. So I was really grateful. But it's scary. It really is scary.
Yeah, and as I understand it, this was the fourth time that happened in 3 months that the story hours were disrupted by neo-Nazi groups. I mean, is that number correct? And I want to hear about those times as well.
Well, there were they went from Taunton to Fall River, so that's two. And then there was two times in Fall River before this, but they weren't able to get inside. So it's just a little escalation from protesting, as you said, on the side of the street to going inside the building to standing next to children being inappropriate. And, you know, the Taunton police, we're working with them. We're working with the Attorney General's office. We're working with various and sundry organizations so that we are guaranteed safety in our future events, which is a very big concern. We have Pride in Taunton and New Bedford and Fall River, about 1,500 people. They're really fun, well attended, well supported, but it does bring a little concern if we're having this type of protest.
Yeah. And Hope, I want to bring you in because a drag queen story hour that your organization, North Shore Pride, hosted also was disrupted by a neo-Nazi group. Just listening to what had happened in Taunton, is this familiar to you in terms of what happened in Boxford?
Yes, and I have to say that that story hour was initiated by the Boxford Public Library, and North Shore Pride was there to support that event. And it was an amazing event until the protesters arrived. So North Shore Pride's position during that event was to be outside to support the story hour and to try and really keep an eye on the protesters who were across the street. And during that time, the story hour started. Thank you so much to the church. We actually couldn't hold it at the Boxford Public Library because of the town regulations, apparently. And so a church stepped up and opted to hold that event. And so then the protesters started yelling, calling us pedophiles, and a whole bunch of other things that I can't say on radio. But and then eventually several of the protesters came over. We stood in front of the church, in front of the door. The protesters burst through us, and then the library personnel, the Boxford Library personnel who were there, stood then behind us, and they just physically pushed their way right into that event, right into the story hour. It was terrible. Some people were hurt. Then the police arrived and de-escalated the situation, took several of the people away.
Can I ask you, Holly, because just in hearing you retell that story, I mean, it seemed like the tension is palpable. And I mean, maybe I could use a stronger word, but I think the thing that I'm trying to get to really understand of the LGBTQ plus community has always dealt with some level of harassment as a minority community. But I really want to get the sense from you, like, does this time around, like, does this period in time feel different to you?
Yeah, I started North Shore Pride in 2012, and other than the 2 years during COVID, active COVID, we've always been out doing events, and it's just seems to be escalating. And I think I told Amanda when I talked to her initially about this radio show that, in my opinion, it's come down to the fact that I think people have been given permission to hate publicly. And I think that's what we're seeing, and whether that be precipitated by politics and what's going on in the country or what has gone on in the country in the last several years, I'm not sure. But socially, we seem to be a very targeted group again. Remembering that we just celebrated, not too long ago, the 50-year anniversary of Stonewall riots. And now seemingly it seems to be, as it was then, we are seeing a resurgence, especially a resurgence of violence and discrimination against the transgender community.
We are, just to remind listeners, we are talking about the rise in anti-LGBTQ plus protests outside of Boston. And here with me is Hope Wadbuchi. She's the president of the organization North Shore Pride. And I also have with me Andy Pollack, president of the South Coast LGBTQ plus network. And just in case people are not familiar with what a drag queen story hour is, there's performer Monica Moore reading a story at one of those story hours at the Taunton Public Library in the spring of 2022.
Pop! Oh no! Another button popped off and rolled away. How many buttons are left? So another button fell off. Does anyone know how much is left on the coat?
Two.
Two. 3 - 1 = 2. Did Pete cry? Goodness no. Buttons come and buttons go.
So that sound is courtesy of the LGBTQ voice on YouTube. And, innocent, just as the name says, drag performer reading a book for a group of children. Second piece of sound is drag performer Patty Bure, because host Tiziana Deering spoke with her last summer after her story hour was disrupted by neo-Nazis in Jamaica Plain.
One of the things that I hear a lot from people who oppose drag queen story hours is that I am desperate to get in the room with kids. And I just want to say that I have never once requested to do a drag queen story hour event. I'm a drag performer full time, so Drag Queen Story Hour is a great way to supplement my income, and I get many, many requests to do this.
So I play both of these tapes to ask Hope, you had thoughts about this, about why you think drag queen story hours have become the target of these protests in recent months. But Andy, can I bring you back in and ask, what is it about these events that you think have become such a flashpoint in our culture?
I think it's safe. I mean, when they were going after hard targets like government buildings and state governors, they go to jail, correct?
Mm.
So it seems like they've moved to a topic that is controversial culturally, but safe as far as how many of these folks are going to jail disrupting story hours. You know, that's a question I like to ask. And not many, if any. So I think it's just a change of tactic on their part. For us, it's disturbing. Everyone in that room was Corey checked. You know, I mean, it's as to cross the T's and dot the I's of the law, we follow it, you know, right to the letter. So, you know, everything was running incredibly smoothly that way. So,
yeah, well, let me ask you the same question I asked Hope earlier. And I want to precede it with a little bit of statistics. According to data from the state, there were 406 reported hate crime incidents in Massachusetts, 19% of those being anti-gay. And that's the second highest category behind anti-Black incidents. So we know that it's not far from new. But Andy, do these feel different to you than past protests or demonstrations?
Yeah, you know, I was involved with Marriage Equality from 2003 to 2007 down in the South Coast. I was co-chair of the Marriage Equality Coalition. And we always would joke that it wasn't a good event if we didn't have protesters, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'd always have folks on the side saying that they were against our marriage and what have you. But I've noticed a real difference. I've noticed that there they were just frustrated, you know, got kind of anti-gay, but they're there because their church told them to be there or whatever. But it just was a different feeling. And these guys that are breaking in are more like thugs. I mean, this isn't your mom and pa that went to a prayer meeting and got talked to go on a bus to some protest. You know, this is really thought out, organized, ski masks, backpacks, barging in, physicality, rough stuff that we haven't seen before. And that's what's scary.
Mm. And
you know what I'm saying? That escalation.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds scary just talking to you about it. But I have just a little over a minute left, so not much time to ask a pretty big question, Hope. And that is not doing these story hours an option? Is it even an option for you? And have you honestly thought about that?
No, it's not an option to stop. You know, the story hours are designed to promote diversity and equity and to, if you will, destigmatize, you know, the LGBTQ community. And it's intentional that, you know, we do story hours with children because that's the time that children learn, you know, about diversity. And so, no, it's very important because that's how you stop hate. You provide education to people and you do it at a young age, and you take away the mystery and instead you add the intellect and you add the familiar.
And being present is just extremely important for you. And I get that. Hope Watt-Bucci, president of the organization North Shore Pride, thank you so much. And also with us, Andy Pollack, president of the South Coast LGBTQ+ Network.
Thank you. Thank you so
much.
Thank you, Yasmin. Appreciate it. Thank you, Andy.
Take care.